Tonight to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. Oh, I need the Lord to help me. Praise God. Daniel chapter 5. Everybody happy tonight? Would you try to convince me? Is everybody happy tonight?
Yeah.
I tell folks at home, I said, I'd rather folks come to church. I said, there's no reason why anybody shouldn't be happy. Well, it goes without saying why the saints of God should be happy. And if there's somebody here lost tonight, you ought to really be happy that the Lord has let you live to get here tonight. That's right. So everybody ought to be happy tonight. Praise God. Amen. Well, here we go. Daniel chapter 5. Let's see how I need to do this. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. I don't know what possessed this man to do this heinous act. And I don't know what possesses a lot of men in our day to do the horrible things they do. It looks like they go a step farther than heinous. And they become more vile. And they add sin to sin. And it gets out of control. And then they're doing things they don't even know why they're doing them themselves. Boy, I'm glad I got loose from that devil. Come on now. Woo! Man, I'm a little nervous, but I felt good right there. Praise God. I said, I'm glad I got loose from that devil. He had me by the back of the head and dunking my head under. I was about to lose my breath, and I got loose! And I'm glad of it. He is killing me, brother. All that fun and good times was killing me. The night before I got saved, I told so many lies. I got to get to my text here in a minute. But I told so many lies, and I was out, supposed to have been somewhere, and got run off, and couldn't go home because I done told a lie. Couldn't go to my buddy's house because he told a lie. So we was out. And I couldn't go where I'd planned because I'd got run off. And we were having a good time, I'm telling you. It was late November and cold and snowing. And we was in an old beat-up car and the heater running, trying to survive till the gas all ran out and all the stations closed and the temperature dropping. And I rolled around in the back seat of that car all night long trying to find a warm place. And I'm telling you, that was the night before I got saved. Now, I know we was having a blast. But something said to me, there's something better than this. Huh? Hey! And I got out of that mess. I'd like to see you come out of there tonight. Now, let's get back to my text. I don't know why this man did what he did. Let me go on. Man, I need to preach to us tonight. God help me. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold. How do you do that? Don't nobody tell me, but I just wonder. You praise the gods of gold, and you can't even get folks hardly in church to praise the God of heaven. Here's folks just tying into a praise service right here, drinking wine and tying into praising God in silver. My, my. In the same hour. Oh, no. Are y'all out there, you got your Bible, book of Daniel, chapter 5. Are you looking at this? The Bible said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed. Well, I've seen a lot of them change, friend. Come on now. I tell you, I've been saved for 23 years. There's never been one second that I thought I got a bad deal. Not one half of a second. Not one blink of an eye did I think I'd got a burning when I got saved. Lenny, I'm not too smart, but I'm smarter than that. Whoa, come on now. I'm telling you, I didn't get no burning when I got the Lord. Amen. And I'm feeling mighty good in my soul right now. Amen. I'm not worried about the hand coming through the wall on me tonight. And I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you ain't been doing right, amen, your countenance may be getting ready to change on you. Huh? And I'm going to tell you in my investigation today why I think his countenance changed so fast. Amen. That's not my text yet. A lot of times I never get to it, so don't hold your breath. But this hand came out, and you know the story, but let me read it to you. The king's countenance changed. His thoughts troubled him. Ooh, my. Hey, I've had some bad nights when my thoughts troubled me. Have you? I've had some bad ones when my back was hurting and I had a headache. Maybe it was running a fever. But the worst nights I've had in my life was when my thoughts were troubling me. And I tell you, when you ain't right with God, friend, amen, your thoughts are troublesome thoughts. Amen. Come on, church, help me preach a while. His thoughts troubled him, and then the joints of his loins were loose. The joints of his loins got loose. You've probably never been there when he was there, when he saw that big hand come through the wall. The party was over. Amen. He'd been bragging. He'd been boasting. He'd been drinking out of the cups. Brother, I thought about that today. Amen. Those cups was in the house of God when Solomon built that, amen, great high place and got up and prayed that prayer. And the glory of the Lord came down and sanctified that house. Those vessels were there then. And this man pours intoxicating liquid in them and at a party of a revelry time of full of all kinds of heinous things. He put his lips to this sanctified vessel, and then all of a sudden a hand of God came through the wall and said, hold on just a minute. Oh, hallelujah. I got to get to my text, but I'm feeling like preaching here a little while. Praise God. Amen. The hand of God began to write on the wall. And the Bible said that the joints of his loins were loosened. Amen. And I don't know, but Jacob, amen, when he wrestled with the Lord touched him on the same place. Amen. And I read about Jacob one time, and it said that was the strong point of a man, was that loin there. That's the hinge of him, that all of his strength, amen, is based upon. And God touched Jacob in that strong point, and he limped, amen, as a sign that God was stronger than he was. Amen.
But I tell you, old Belshazzar felt mighty strong, but all of a sudden his strength has got loose and his knees are smiting one against the other.
Oh, Holy Ghost, help me, preach tonight. His knees smote one against another. Now you stay with me now. I want you to wonder. I'm going to try to tell you, for the Lord to help me, something tonight. His knees smote against another. The king cried aloud. He's lost all his decency, all his composure. Huh? He's crying out, get my astrologers, soothsayers, magicians, call them in. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you something. You need more than that. Amen. Help me preach a little while tonight. I got to hurry. And so they searched the land and got a man that Daniel of reputation and brought him in. And he said, can you interpret? And here's what I'll give you. Now here I want you to notice something. Here this man is having a party. History tells us that the very time he was having this party, he was besieged by his enemy. Huh? And he could look out and see the Cyrus all around him and his troops. But he was not, amen, humbled. He was not bowed. He wasn't worried. Historians say he had a lot of food stored up, years and years of provision, and he thought everything is going to be all right, and let's just call a party. He had 1,000 of his princes. He left nobody guarding. Amen. Come on now. While he partied, I'm going to tell you, I've felt around the meetings and the churches, and my own included, I have felt folks, amen, surrounded by their enemy, having the party of their life, and it's about time the hand of God, amen, came through your camp meeting wall, amen, and right us a message that would loosen our joints and cause us to realize, amen, we're not as tough as we think we are. I'll preach a little while tonight. I honestly do have a text that I'm trying to get to. So they called Daniel, and Daniel said, verse 17, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. Oh, thou king, before he interprets, he gives him a little history lesson. He said, oh, thou king, the most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom. Notice how he said that. God gave. Oh, my. I wonder if we realize tonight if we have anything. God gave it to you. Huh? Come on now. Boy, I wish I could get on down here. I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. God gave your father a kingdom and a majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty he gave him, all people, nations, language trembled and feared before him. Who he would slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, oh, isn't it something how we forget the other side of the story? Oh, isn't it good how we can remember how the lifting up and the honor and the majesty? Amen. But there's a conjunction here that says, but his heart was lifted up. Amen. Oh, come on now. And he said, his heart was lifted up.
his mind hardened in pride. Oh, he was disposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. He went stark, raving, mad, crazy. Amen. Do you remember? Amen. That's what he was asking Belshazzar. You remember, Belshazzar, when your father, some commentators say grandfather, but either one. Amen. You remember that father. Amen. You was on the scene. You heard the report. It's not news to you. I'm just rehearsing it in your memory. This is not a surprise to you. That's why you were shaken. That's why you were trembling. You'd seen the judgment of God before. And so have you. And he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven for 7 years. Till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Verse 22 is my text. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knew all this. I want to preach to you tonight this text the Lord gave me. You can't say you didn't know. Lift your hands this way and ask the Lord to help me preach. I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. We in this hour, we are trying to be like David did at one crucial time in his life. He feigned madness to protect his life. I see people in church today playing, feigning, putting on ignorance. Amen. A lot of folks are thinking ignorance is a virtue. Amen. That's right. But ignorance is not a virtue. And it is not an escape hatch. It is not a remedy. It is not, amen, a way out for you. It was not a way out for Belshazzar. I want you to notice, he never one time, Brother Rose, said to Daniel, but I didn't know. Give me another chance. If I'd only knew. He never one time said it. And many of you are sitting here tonight. If you're lost tonight and you hit hell wide open, you cannot say to God, I didn't know it'd be this hot. I didn't know it'd be this dark. I didn't know it'd be this powerful. Amen. But you'll know it's hell as soon as you hit hell. Amen. You can't say, I didn't know at a holiness camp meeting that's been going on for decades. Amen. There's folks here that don't love holiness, and you're going to meet God, and you can't say you didn't know better. You see, if Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's grandfather, is that the way it was? He was probably a young man when the commotion went on in the household. Something terrible has happened to grandfather. You mean the grandfather that walked along the balcony so proud and said, look at Babylon. Look what I built with my own hands. This was a year after God had warned him. 12 months after God told him. He forgot all about it. And he was out a walking, looking over, and grandchildren, amen, little Belshazzar, maybe it didn't happen this way, but he knew that grandfather was the man in the kingdom. Amen. But now there's whispering in the house. Amen. What's the matter? Something's happened to granddaddy. Amen. What is it? You know, it's a mental problem. It's not to be talked out. Amen. He's acting like a wild animal. He's down on all fours. He's eating grass in the field. That little boy. Hey, some of you can remember when your daddy came home drunk. Amen. And beat mama. Amen. And went to sit down in the couch and sit on the end table. Amen. And vomited on his lap. Amen. And got a hold of you and abused you. Amen. And you said when you were a child, amen, I'll never let this happen to me. But now here you are, and you know better, but you go it on anyway. You can't say you didn't know. One preacher said before he got saved, his daddy was a stickler, Brother Savage, against drink. He said he knew his dad brought him up every day of his life nearly. He'd tell him, stay away from the booze. We growed up as a teenage boy. He went out, got with some other boys, and he got to drinking beer. And he got so dog drunk, he could not hardly find his way home. He staggered in. Amen. He smelt like a beer keg. Amen. He said he knew. Amen. When his dad came in, he had throwed up. This boy had throwed up in the living room floor. Dad came in the bathroom where he was throwing up and throwed a towel in his face. And that man looked up at his dad and he said, I knew I was in trouble. He said, I tried to think of a bunch of lies that I could tell. Amen. To justify my drunken case. He said, but there was one thing I did not do. I did not say, Dad, I didn't know any better. Because Dad had told me every day of my life nearly that drink was not right. I want to tell you, you may be staggering out in sin, but you cannot say that you don't know better. Hey! Amen. I'll tell you, Belshazzar, you may drink your wine in the golden goblet. Amen. But you know that there's going to be a hand. Hey! Amen. I wish you'd help me preach. Amen. You can't say you didn't know.
I wish I could preach. You can't say it. We've got a God that makes sure we know. Huh? Help me preach a little bit tonight. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I need to preach to you. Amen. Romans chapter 1, if you'll go there. Let me read this to you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Hey. Go ahead, you loose-living hypocrite. Go ahead, you preacher here. You compromise your preaching. I want you to look at what's in your cup right now. Hear me now. You say, don't get too bold with me, preacher. I'm just obeying the Holy Ghost right here. He wants me to tell you that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. I don't care what name you got on your door. If you're not preaching holiness, you're not a preacher. You say, why would you say such a bold, outrageous statement? I don't care what denomination you are. Amen. The Bible is to be preached. And the Bible is to be lived. And the Bible is to be loved. And the Bible is to be revered. Amen. I'll tell you what. We act like the most ignorant. Amen. Gone to seed ignorance. We don't know how to live. We don't know to quit wearing them doodles. We don't know to quit going to them places. But brother, we're not as ignorant as we're letting on. And one day, our memory's going to be shaken by the hand of God, and we'll know that we knew better.
Oh, I'm going to preach to you tonight if it kills me.
The wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all. What's going to be? The wrath of God. And I'm going to read on why God's going to pour undaunted wrath upon those who live in ungodliness and unrighteousness. Listen good now. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Did you hear me? For that which is may be known of God, we can never comprehend God, but there are some things we know about God. Huh? He's made sure of it. Come on now, quiet in this house. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Are y'all getting this? I'm going to tell you tonight. Amen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Praise God. You're not going to be able to point a finger at God and say, God, you're putting me in this hell and you didn't tell me any better. He said, because these things are revealed in the creation. Amen, I'll tell you, amen, we can look around. It used to be so, Brother Savage, men could get their old gun, amen, or their old coon dog, and go down in the holler, and listen at the coyote, and the whippoorwill, and watch the leaves blow, and they in their simplicity would say, with all of this creation, there's got to be a creator, and I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to live for Him. But today, we look around at this, and we say, amen, I don't know any better, when the fact is, we do know better. Y'all still there? Let me read you one of my favorite chapters. We got time? Huh? The heavens declare the glory of God. Woo! I'm telling you, you can't say you didn't know. Let's forget the camp meeting. Let's forget all these savages. Amen. Come on. Let's forget Brother Doval. Let's forget these preachers. Let's forget the anointed singing. Let's just forget all of that. Amen. And let's go out into the scenes of the hillside. The first missionaries of God. Huh? Y'all not helping me. I'm telling you, God is not nature. Nature is not God. I am not a tree hugger, a frog kisser. Huh? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, amen, God created this world. He did not have to prove Himself. Amen. Moses did not come and introduce this world to God. Men believed in God before Moses was ever born. I know he wrote the Pentateuch. Amen. But hey, amen, men looked out, amen, at the hand of God. Amen. And said, the heavens, what do? They declare the glory of God. How is somebody to help me preach? You can't go down, you can't get to an old cane pole, go down through the pasture field of the old farm pond, and throw you out, amen, a night crawler, and hook a large mouth without saying, my. The heavens declare the glory of God. Huh? Shahakabahoka. I'm talking about the first missionaries. Amen. I don't care if they're a Hottentot in Africa. Amen. Amen. I've heard Brother Cox tell about somebody telling an African man about Jesus Christ. Amen, Brother Bean. And said after he told the plan of salvation in the old rugged cross, amen, that black man looked at him and said, I knew there had to be a story like that. I knew there had to be a God like that. I'm telling you, deep calleth unto deep. Amen. And that's what called to me. As I looked at the little dipper, and I looked at the big dipper, and I heard the whippoorwill, I said, there's a God in heaven!
There was a lot of growing up for me. There was a lot of accidents where I could have been killed. And I want to tell you tonight, I got saved before I ever heard an altar call. 19 years old. I had an accident, automobile accident, when I was about 16. I could have been killed. If I had went to hell, and I would have, I could not have told God I didn't know you existed. Because I knew very well. Huh?
I could not have pointed my finger, amen, at God and said, you should have told me. Because He talked to me every day of my life. He put a conscience in me. Amen, when I stole that candy bar in grade school, I had to come home and tell my mommy, I stole a candy bar today and I can't sleep. I'm telling you, it was God. And I can't say I didn't know.
Nature is God's missionaries. You go out to Colorado. I went last summer. I got in there at night, got in my motel room, and I thought, this ain't no big deal. Colorado ain't nothing. I done landed here, and it's flat. Don't see nothing amazing me here. It was dark. I got up the next morning. I pulled my shades and looked out toward Pike's Peak, and I said, my Lord and my God. I drove over there 14,000 feet to the top. I went through all four seasons as a climb. Woo! I started out down there in the summertime. And as I wound up that mountain, old summer kissed me goodbye. Amen. And spring came in. And I moved on up the mountain, and right on up we went. Amen. Come on now. And when I got to the top, winter was there to greet me. Amen. 30 degrees and snowing. I was exhilarated. Amen. No guardrails, just a dusty little road winding to the top. I stood on the top of Pike's Peak, and I looked down at what they call the devil's playground. Lightning flashing down below me. I said, glory be. It affected me, brother. I'm telling you, it did. Spiritually, it affected me. Amen. It affected me like the first time. Amen. I rode down the East Coast. Amen. And got out there at Anastasia Island and looked at the ocean. Amen. And something got a hold of me. And I realized, amen, there's a God in heaven. Amen. We make it so hard and we act so ignorant. Hey, but I tell you, my wife and I, we realized we were going to have our fifth child. We were really tickled after an hour or two, finding out. Huh? Got over the shock. We said, this is great. God's in this. Amen. We laid there and we've talked so much through these 8 months of her expectancy. And one day, amen, she just gripped my hand lying there in the bed. And she said, how can anybody say there's not a God? Amen. When this miracle is living inside of my womb. I want to tell you, infidel, you unbeliever, you may meet God. And you'll have to say, I'm lost. But I knew you were there all the time. I knew better than this. You can't say You preacher boys, son, you better make it. I'm going to tell you something. I told my boys, Brother Paul, I said, Daddy don't want to hear you say no more, but you did it, Daddy. I said, you're hurting Daddy when you say that. I don't want you to hear that no more. I said, because I brought you to the house of God every day of your little life. I got saved before any of y'all was born. Amen. And when they say, Daddy, didn't you? Oh, yeah, but don't grieve me no more with that. And I tell them, God's expecting more out of you than he is me. You may not agree with me. That's the way I feel. Amen. My old boy is 18 years old. He's got the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I tell you what, many of you kids here, you holiness bred kids, amen, never had a television, never been to the theater, and you think you're deprived, but really you're blessed, and you ought to be doing more than what you're doing. It grieves me when I come on the ground and some preacher's kid has backslid and they come in wearing all the gold and all the shine and all the worldly makeup and the short split dresses and they come on like they're wanting to announce to the world, amen, Daddy preached this, but here's what I'm living. I want to tell you something. You know much better than that. And God's looking on and the hand is going to come through the wall and you're not going to have one excuse to stand on. One thing I noticed, Brother Alvin, about this message, Nebuchadnezzar repented. And I don't know, haven't read any history on the end of him, but it ended out pretty good for him. It didn't end so well with Belshazzar because he knew better. He knew better. Though thou knewest, when he was a little boy, he may have went out to the field and watched them throw straw to Granddaddy. Huh? He might have sat on Granddaddy's lap after he recovered his mind, Brother Chip, and Granddaddy might have sent him down and took him by the arms and said, now, grandson, let Grandpa tell you something here. You better not get proud with God because I acted like an animal for 7 long years. Oh, it's no wonder Belshazzar could do nothing but shake and his countenance fall. He knew the jig was up. He knew the trouble was in. He seen the judgment of God, and you have to.
Lift your hands and pray for me. You can't say I didn't know. We may be illiterate. That means unable to read. I can read. Slow, I like to read slow. Life is fast, so I read slow. Huh? We may be unlearned men, as the apostles were, but that does not mean we cannot know. Did you hear me? He can go to an unlearned man. And he's got a language he talks to unlearned men. He don't talk into their mind. He talks into their heart. He might just, Brother Jimbo, he might just point to the cross and point to his heart, wave an old Bible. But he's got a language. It's so simple that even a fool should not err therein. Huh? Any lack wisdom? You know what wisdom is? It's not algebra. It's not Pythagorean's theorem. It's not some dynamic thing. Wisdom is spiritual insight. I'm going to tell you, we got a church full of folks that are wise to this world and as simple as they can be to the things of God. When the Apostle Paul said, I would have you simple to the world. Amen. I don't care who on the world series.
Come on now. But I would like to know how to live for God. Come on now. You can't say you didn't know when nature's proclaiming it. When wisdom crieth out in the street, I have a banquet set. Anybody that wants to come down and get spiritual insight, the door's open. Come and sit down. If I just understood more about the Bible. Amen. And you don't even read the Bible. Oh, if I could just get in touch with God and you never come to an altar. You just got a little Excedrin headache prayer that you pinch the bridge of your nose, amen, until you get up and go out without being embarrassed. I'm going to tell you, you can know about God. Jesus said, learn of me, amen. You can sit at Jesus' feet instead of being cumbered about so many things and find out how to get to heaven. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, it's about time for the hand to come through the wall. You can act as ignorant as you want to act, but the truth is, trouble has come, and you knew better all the time. Are you hearing me all the way in the back? Let me preach just a little more. Peter said to the Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful, wise steward whom his Lord shall make rule over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, here we're at, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and eat and drink, and be drunken, and I can name over me another thing, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he's not aware, he will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. Are you getting this? This servant who knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many. Did you hear me? He that knew his Father's will. That's you. That's you. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. He's coming. He's coming. You heard that before? He's coming. And you know what? If he comes back and catches you, you can't say, I didn't know. How many knows the Lord's coming tonight? How many? Everybody in this house. How many knows the Lord is coming? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Keep it up. So when he comes, you can't say, I didn't know he was coming. Stand with me all over this house. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lift your hands and pray for this altar service right here. Please pray for me. Oh, God, have mercy on these holiness people here tonight. Lord, these people that have heard the gospel and have heard your warning, God, and have seen the judgment of God in others, help them, God, to prepare tonight lest they be called unaware. I heard Brother Benny Sutherland tell about
an accident on the highway where the flood had came and washed the bridge out. It had washed the tread of the bridge out, and somehow it had left the railings up and just washed through and washed the bridge out. And this man was coming down the road, and he looked at the bridge. He saw the railings up and some water on the bridge, and he said, "I'll go for it. I think I can get through. It's not too bad." What he didn't know was the bridge had been washed out, and he went down into a muddy river. He kicked his windshield out. Good swimmer. He swam out and barely made it. Just as he came out, he saw another car coming, and he got out in the road, tired and wet, and began to wave him down. The man stopped. "What's the problem?" He said, "This bridge is out." The man said, No, it's not. I see the rails are up. I went over this bridge before. Just a little water on it. I think I can make it." He said, "You don't understand. I just went through there, and I barely came out alive." And the man said, "Well, I think I can make it." Now, I know you think this is crazy, but Brother Sutherland said there was numbers of cars went on anyway into that water. The man sat down and wept because no one would believe the bridge was out. I feel the same way tonight. But I want to tell you this. When you wind up in that muddy stream and you can't get back out, you cannot say you didn't get a warning. Not one soul in this building tonight. This is not your first warning you got tonight. You've been warned all of your life. If you go to hell, the rich man never one time said, "This is unjust." He knew better. He stepped over that poor old beggar and looked into the face of God every day of his life. He knew better. Send somebody, Lord. Warn my brothers. And you know what the Lord said? You know what Abraham said? If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if you won't hear me tonight, if you won't hear your pastor, if you won't hear nature calling to you, there's a creator that you're subject to. You know better. Some of you are justifying you and saying you're saved, and you know good and well you're not living right. How can you be saved and not live right? Say, "You're mean, preacher." No, I'm not. The Lord saved you so you could live right. Some of you are flaunting your worldly apparel just to rub it in our holiness preacher's faces and say, "I can wear it." But I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a day God is going to tell you, "You knew better than that mess." If I was you, I wouldn't wait till that day. That's right. That's right. That's right. I can't do this too good. But I'm going to open this altar for you. You can't say you didn't know. Let me say one other thing. We're going to open the altar. I was talking to a man the other day, a relative of mine, and he was telling me, he said, "I'm a little bit mixed up." So I've been talking to folks that, and they're telling me that you can sin. Once, if you've ever been saved, you can keep on sinning. And if you've ever been saved, you'll be saved in the end. He said, "You know," said, "it's starting to make sense to me." And I said, "Why? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I know in my own heart, I have an awful time keep from sinning every while." And he said, "I'm about to believe that Jesus can't quit sinning." And he said, "So that makes sense that if a man can't quit, then he can go to heaven doing it. As long as he's trusting in the blood." And I said, "What makes you think a man can't live it?" He said, "Well, ain't hardly nobody living it."
And I said, well, does that mean it can't be done? And he said, well, some of them strict things in the Bible said nobody can live that. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, 50 years ago, just about everybody lived that way. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I just got through reading a history book. It was a history of 1919 to 1929. And it wasn't a Christian book. It was just a secular history book. And it said the apparel of a lady in 1919, they had got real bold in their apparel. Their dress was 8 inches off the floor. Are you getting this? I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a loose, ungodly, naked, worldly, immodest society. But that has nothing to do with the saint of God. Well, I wish the church would say amen tonight. I'm going to tell you, we've got a great cloud of witnesses. We know the way. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place in the way you know. Is that what he said? And I do know the way tonight. And that old song we sing at home 3:14 many times. I have found the way that leads to endless life. I get happy on that song when I think of a little old, nod-headed country boy going to heaven. I get happy. Aren't you glad we can know better? I'm going to pray for the lost here tonight and those that have compromised and those that are worldly. We're going to pray for those that are compromised their standard, that know better than what they're doing. And those that think God is dead and God's not watching and that this thing wasn't like it used to be, I want you to pray for you tonight. So that just about takes the whole crowd in nearly, don't we? We're going to pray for everybody here tonight. We know more than we're living. Hello, we still on? I said we know more than we're living. Oh, I tell you what, I wish we'd get a preacher up here that preaches up to the third heaven. Well, we need a master living here on earth first. Preach us deep, preacher. Take us deep. Deep. You know what they're really saying? Tickle my ears. Entertain me. I was preaching at a youth camp. I'm going to let you go. You look mighty tired. We're going to pray in just a minute. I was preaching at a little youth camp, preaching a little holiness. Woman met me at the door, said, I won't be back. Had her two little girls under her arm. Said, my kids did not understand one thing you said today. I looked at the way they were dressed, and I thought to myself, I think they got it. I think Mama really got it. She was leaving. I'm going to tell you something. We know more. Why don't we live what we've heard? I said, why don't we live what we felt in our heart before our conscience became seared with a hot iron? Why don't we live just what God told us the first day we got saved? Take up thy cross and follow me. Let's don't feign madness tonight. Let's come clean with God. Say, God, you're holy, and you said that I could be holy because you're holy. Bow your heads with me tonight.
While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, Paul the Apostle said, I've told you before, and I tell you again. You've heard it. It's nothing new to you. Your heart's been pricked. God, through the Holy Spirit, is dealing with your soul tonight. You need to get out of that seat. You need to find yourself an altar prayer. Jesus will become precious to you. Once again, he will become precious to you. While they sang a verse in the course of this song, the Spirit of God's dealing with hearts here tonight. You know what God is. You know what the truth is. You know God's dealing with your soul. You die lost and go to hell. You'll not blame this preacher tonight and say, I never knew and I never heard. Oh God. Oh God. Is there any saints here tonight want to pray for the lost souls? Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Does anybody else want to pray? You're lost, you're unsaved, you're backslid, you're away from God. You're fooling nobody but your own soul. One of these days, the hand's going to come on the wall, and God's going to say it's enough. You need to pray. You don't need to go home like you are. You need to pray. You need to pray. You're lost. You know you are. Put on a big front, but you're lost. Why don't you pray tonight? You need God. Your family needs God. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch souls in this place tonight. Blessed Lord Jesus. Come on. Come on, pray. Young people, come pray. Some of you haven't felt God in so long, and yet you go to church. You need God's Spirit to give you a fresh touch in your heart. Oh, God. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Jimbo. Oh, God. Oh, that's what God wants out of your life. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to give up. Give all to the Lord. You'll never be happy and no victory in your soul till you make peace with God. Oh, God. Come on, pray.